Pleasure now to bring on a good friend, and he's been a great baseball writer. I think he's got the best baseball newsletter in the country. It's Joe Sheehan. Joe, nice to have you with us.
Marty, how you doing today?
Very good. Tell us, and I always like to start, where people can find out about the newsletter. I love it. I can't wait to see it every day. I tell you, it's the best thing that's out there.
The best place to get information on it is at Facebook.com, Sheehan Newsletter. That's S-H-E-E-H-A-N. You can get excerpts. I answer questions there. You get a 10% offer, a 10% off offer if you use the link at Facebook. Facebook.com, Sheehan Newsletter. And Marty, you know, I just write about baseball. You know, whatever news of the day might be. I've written about Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani. You know I do a lot of stuff about the meta stuff in the industry, strikeouts, contact rates, where the game is going. I've been writing about a lot about that this week.
Yeah, you know, Bruce Bochy was just on, and he talked a lot about the Giants hitting with runners in scoring position. And with two out, with less than two out, they're very good. With two out, they're horrible. And I started thinking about strikeouts. And you wrote about it this week, whether we see more strikeouts in these high-leverage situations, more than we ever saw. Is that true?
We don't. Actually, if you look back historically, spots where you would expect a pitcher to really go for a strikeout, runner on second, nobody out, runner on third, less than two outs, strikeout rates tend to actually be below the league average. And that's consistent going back, you know, I would check that every 10 years back to 1978, which is back when, you know, strikeout rates were considerably lower than they are today. And the difference between, you know, the regular strikeout rate and the strikeout rate in those spots is pretty consistent. So pitchers aren't getting better at getting strikeouts in those situations. And a lot of readers pointed out to me, you know, in those situations, batters are playing for contact more than they might be otherwise. So that's a mitigating factor.
Strikeouts are up, obviously more strikeouts than hits. Are you concerned about that? Are we looking at the dead ball era again? Are we going into one of those cycles of baseball?
Right. Strikeouts being more common than hits is just the kind of a trigger that goes, hey, something's really going wrong here, like the glaciers are melting in Antarctica, or excuse me, in the Arctic Circle. And the game's not supposed to be that way. And as strikeouts have always risen, but it's just in the last years that we've gotten close to strikeouts being more common than hits. And I don't think that's a game that's highly entertaining. I think people go to baseball games to watch athletes do things, catch the ball, throw the ball, run the bases. And it's so much more a pitcher-batter game. It's better experience through TV that way, but I don't know if that's going to drive people to the ballpark. A lot of the conversations about pace of play come down to this issue of the ball just not being in play enough, which makes the game feel like it's dragging, especially compared to what I think is the sport on the rise today, you know, soccer and basketball, where the ball is constantly in motion and the players are constantly in motion.
A couple of stats that we talk about a lot, and I know the BABIP, balls put in play. And if I see a guy with a BABIP of 380, they say, well, he's lucky. Or if it's 220, he's not getting a break. Or on-base percentage should be around 320. If it's under that, well, you're not doing a good job. Where are those numbers lately? Because that tells a little bit of a story of how the game is being played.
Right. League OBP is down to 317, which is one of the really lower marks that we've seen. And what that is, the effective strikeouts. A lot of people focus on the shift and the defensive, you know, all the infield shifting that we're seeing. That's not actually affecting on base percentage all that much. It's really just strikeouts eating everything else. You're just seeing fewer balls put in play, which is taking away all the action in the game. Typically, when the game dips below a 320 on base percentage, which is where we are now, which is where we were in like 2013, 2014, which is where we were in 1968, that's when the game starts to lose fans. Pretty consistently, Marty, baseball does better when there's more offense. And when offense drops to four runs a game, baseball has trouble keeping fans.
All right, Joe Sheehan with us. Always very provocative. The newsletter is terrific. Check him out at Facebook.com. And it's Sheehan Newsletter, correct, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. I'm memorizing it already. Very good. I like that. Let's talk a little bit about the Giants. They're at the halfway point here, this National League West. I had Steve Gilbert on earlier from MLB.com and Kerry Crowley. And, boy, the Diamondbacks' offensive numbers are abysmal, but they have a great starting rotation. They seem to catch the ball. The Dodgers are, you know, you never know who's going to be going to Rancho Cucamonga and who's coming back. And then you have the Giants thinking about an eight-man rotation. So what's going on with the West?
Marty, are you the eighth guy in that rotation?
Yeah, I could be. They need another lefty. It could be me.
You know, it's interesting. The Giants, 43-40, just past the halfway point. I didn't think that they could have everything go wrong and still stay competitive. Pence, Longoria, Bumgarner, Melanson, Cueto, Samar. I mean, it's just the disabled list is basically the roster, you know, one time or another. Now, some of those guys are back, but, you know, Cueto, Samardzija, and Melanson have combined for, what, 78 innings, and they're making $53, $54 million this year. I think Bruce Bochy, and I've never been the world's biggest Bruce Bochy guy, I think Bochy's got to get a lot of credit for keeping this team over 500 with the shock troops. You look at that, you know, I don't think about the Giants having a great farm system, but Chris Stratton, Andrew Suarez, Ty Block, these are all Giants draft picks who are, if not lighting the world on fire, keeping the team competitive in the rotation. I think Bochy's got to get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, I think so. Bullpen-wise, you know, they don't have that one guy. And I know there are many arguments of, well, you don't need the one guy. Anybody could be a closer. Do you believe in that?
I do. I think that we see every year 10, 12 pitchers get dropped into the ninth inning and you know, have success. I think we tend to test this by the way we test witches, right? If a guy gets a save, if a guy gets two or three save chances and he does well, we decide that he can be a closer. And if he doesn't do well, we decide he can't. Yeah. If you look at the Astros bullpen this year, Marty, you know, Ken Giles has struggled, and they've used a bunch of different guys in the ninth inning. They've used converted starters like Colin McHugh, Brad Peacock to finish games. I don't think there's any one model anymore. Bochy's generally been a ninth inning guy historically, but I like the fact that he's shown a little more flexibility this year. I believe it was Tony Watson who closed out last night's game. Watson got some close.
Yeah,
oh, it was Will Smith. Sorry, yeah. It was one of the lefties. Forgive me. I think that's the way it's going to have to be for the Giants this year. Until somebody shows they can be that one lockdown guy, I think it's going to have to be a matchup situation, a night-by-night situation, and I think you're going to need that level of flexibility. I think the Giants will be one of many teams in the reliever market come next month.
Yep, I agree with that. If I had, and they probably only have one bullet to use here, I would go right-handed reliever. I think that's the diciest part of what they have going now. What do you think about the Diamondbacks, though? Offensively, they're last in the league, and on-base percentage is down, and Somehow they score 4.5 runs a game or something like that. What do you think about Arizona?
It's unusual when a team does that. Their baseline numbers are very poor. They're sixth in the league in runs scored. A lot of that tends to be sequencing in the short term, hitting with runners in scoring position, stuff that we know it's not a skill, Marty. We know that there is no team that can hit .310 with runners in scoring position, but it's .230 the rest of the time. But in the short term, teams can do that. That's just the way of the game. Clutch performances absolutely exist. And the Diamondbacks have gotten a lot of those this year. Paul Goldschmidt, by the way, finally, after that terrible start to the season, he got things going. That's helped them a lot in June. Remember, they bounced. They'd actually fallen out of first place briefly, fallen towards 500, and now they've got a 3.5 game cushion on the Dodgers. That situation could have really fallen apart. I think you've got to look at what Torey Lovullo's done there, you know, in his second year, kind of keeping that team from collapsing in May.
Yeah, he's got a good rotation. I think he's got the best rotation in the division. He can put out a guy every game who can win a game, and he's got two or three guys in the bullpen. I'm not completely sold on his bullpen, but the rotation for me over the summer works. I'm having a tough time getting a handle on the Dodgers. I really am. Just when I think, and they have run off, 26 out of 40, whatever it may be. But there's just something about them. It's not what it was before.
Well, as you alluded to earlier, they're not the same team from day to day. They make as many transactions as any team in baseball. They're constantly churning guys in and out of that rotation, constantly churning them in and out of that staff. They've had a number of injuries. Corey Seager, of course, out for the year. Justin Turner just coming off the disabled list. They rotate the outfielders. You know, Chris Taylor has had to play some shortstop. He still plays the outfield. It's not a team where you go, okay, this is the second baseman, this is the shortstop. Other than Yasiel Puig and Cody Bellinger, they can have guys pretty much anywhere on any given night. And Justin Turner at third base, of course, is coming off the DL. I think that contributes to the idea, Marty, that you just don't have a handle on what they are. I don't think they're anywhere near where they were last year. I mean, losing Seager, Kershaw being hurt. They don't have their identity guys.
Yeah.
They were built around these two superstars giving them a leg up on everybody else, and basically they're down to half of those guys right now. So I agree that they're a tough team to get a handle on. I'm curious to see what they do going forward here because they really want to get under the luxury tax for reasons we talked about before having to do with the increased penalties if they don't. But they do have holes that they might need to fill at the trade deadline, so they're going to really be looking to strike that balance. We saw the Giants do this in the offseason, getting very creative in the trade market to acquire guys like Longoria and McCutcheon while staying under the tax threshold.
You know, this trade deadline may affect – now, Colorado, I think, is their bullpen has just not lived up to what they're – they thought they haven't hit as much as they thought. There's still plenty of time to go. John Gray got demoted to the minor leagues today. But I'm thinking this trade deadline is going to have an impact in the National League West. I think the Dodgers and Arizona will go for it.
Well, the National League as a whole, Marty, you look at, I haven't checked, but this might be a day out of date, but last I checked, the top nine teams were separated by something like seven games, from the Brewers down to the Giants, I believe, with the ninth team. So you've got nine teams essentially battling for five playoff spots, including all three division races. All of those teams pretty much have to be buyers to one extent or another. And you've got a pretty wide disparity in terms of the available. You look at the Braves farm system. The Braves could pretty much go out and get with whoever they want, whereas some teams like the Giants and arguably the Diamondbacks can't really get into that, the top end of the market, the same way. So you're going to see a lot of these GMs be very creative. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, we saw the Mariners make their deal with the Rays. I wouldn't be surprised to see teams get in on it early, too, here in the next couple of weeks, not wait until July 25th. Try to strike early and get ahead of the market.
I agree with that. I'm a big believer. One of the great Giants trades of all time happened about July 4th when they got Kevin Mitchell back in 1987. So I'm a big believer in when you know what you need, if it's out there, go get it. And I'm a big believer in that. One last thought for you, Joe Sheehan with us. Always a pleasure to talk with him. We talked a little bit about Seattle because the A's out here are winning like crazy. And the Giants and A's have six games coming up here to end the break and right after the break. Can the A's catch Seattle?
Be surprised. I think they're fundamentally a 500 team that's basically played like a 500 team a couple of games out. They're in a stretch right now where it feels like they've played the Tigers 17 times in the last month. They're taking advantage of the soft schedule. I like to see them finally getting production out of young homegrown players. Matt Olson and Matt Chapman have been very big for them this year. Starting to see, Franklin Barreto's been called up. Starting to see them finally get some production out of the draft. I can't see them going out and adding the pieces they would need to make up that, I believe it's a seven-game deficit as of today. And I don't think the Mariners are as strong as they've looked. But I would like to be surprised. I think it would be good for baseball to see the A's make a run, given all the issues of the challenges that franchise faces. We're 15 years past Moneyball and everybody's kind of forgotten about them, but I do think it would be interesting if Billy go out. And they have some prospects if they wanted to do that, but Marty, I think there's a real argument against the A's necessarily going all in for half a playoff spot.
Yeah, I know, but they catch the ball really well. They got a bullpen that ends a game after the seventh inning, and they hit home runs, and that's baseball today.
It absolutely is. And that upgraded defense has been a big part of it. Ever since they called up Chapman in the middle of last year, this has gone from being one of the lesser defensive teams in the American League to one of the best. And that's backed up a pitching staff that, at least in the rotation, doesn't strike out a ton of guys. You can strike out guys, you can catch the ball. You've got to do at least one of those things.
Interesting. Yeah, great to have you on, Joe. Always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you as we get towards the end of the month. But I agree with you. I think things are going to pop, and I think the National League West is going to be in the middle of it. So lot to talk about.
It's going to be a fun National League. The American League, not so much, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun in the National League. Marty, next time we talk, I promise you I'll be indoors.
Okay. All right. Have a good afternoon. Thanks, Joe.
Take care.
All right. That's Joe Sheehan. Very good. Always, always provocative. All right. More coming up.